bum 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 bum.
Welcome to Order Up Investigates, where we explore the mysteries and histories of food and fun. Your hosts this season are Kelly Zemnikas, Carrie Haim, Mary Kennedy, and me, your producer, Matt Ardill. Thank goodness for Chef Boyardee this week on Order Up.
I love it.
Yay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to an investigative podcast. We're not going to be doing this like we did prior, where we have a theme and six episodes for a season. We're just going to put these out here and there and get to the bottom of your food questions. This episode will be focusing on Chef Boyardee. I'm excited. I am so excited. And Carrie, yes. If people have other characters or food items they would like us to look into, how can they reach out to us?
I think what the people should do is find our page on Instagram, our Order Up page, and maybe shoot us a DM or make a comment on a post. And we do read them and we will see. And maybe you have some people. I mean, I've always wondered about Chef Boyardee, and maybe you're wondering about Sarah Lee or Betty Crocker or someone else. You never know.
Let's just try to avoid the problematic food mascots, if we could.
That's a good point.
No problematic people, everybody.
Yes.
And by that, I mean the guy with the spiky hair who just does the drive-ins and diners. And
Guy Fieri?
Yeah,
Guy Fieri. He seems like a decent person.
I'm not Zane. Suspicious.
Yeah. Our friend Zane Kablansky is quite close with him.
Yes.
I'm mostly kidding. He's apparently a very nice guy. He officiates a lot of gay weddings, so he's good in my books there.
Oh, that's dope. Okay. Yeah. It seems very philanthropic.
Yeah.
Philanthropic is the word. And Mary, what are you going to be doing at the end of each episode? Our investigative. You've got some trivia, I think.
I have some trivia, you guys, that is going to be very exciting. And you'll also get to see how much my Irish side of my family doesn't know how to cook. So it'll be good.
Speaking of not knowing how to cook, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I've never had it, or 10 being I ate it every day, how often did you have Chef Boyardee as a little one? I'll start off. I'm going to say 6 out of 10. It was pretty frequent, but not every day. What about you, Matt?
I'd say more like a 4 or 3. I mean, you're more of a Kraft dinner kind of family. Like, we had it. Or SpaghettiOs, that was another one. Yes. But really, it's more Kraft dinner was our go-to.
That's right. Carrie Haim?
I think I'm going to go about a 4 as well. I didn't love the Chef Boyardee, and I always wanted to love it because those kids on those commercials looked so happy, and it just all looked so appetizing to me. But I'm going to go with about a 4.
Okay. Mary Kennedy, how often did you have Chef Boyardee as a little one?
8.
Oh, you win.
Me. Okay. Did you own stock in the company?
Well, I don't know. It was an 8, but you got to understand. It was my dad's mother, who was directly from Ireland. When she would have us over, she would create faux Italian. So only at her house, because at my mother's house, my grandmother was a pastry chef and a cook. My mother's mother would be horrified if she knew that I had Chef Boyardee so much.
But Chef Boyardee would be thrilled.
Yeah. It was Parmesan doesn't make everything good.
Well, I'm going to get into, in a minute, I'm going to start us off with the history of the product. Speaking of Parm, there's an interesting factoid with Parmesan cheese and Chef Boyardee that changed over the years. I can't wait to dive into this. I don't know when I last had it, As I've gotten older, because little Kelly did not know about acid reflux.
Yeah.
Friends, I can't eat it.
Yeah.
It's like instant heartburn for me.
It's really acidic, though.
Yeah. So acidic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Mind you, Matt, peanut butter on white bread also gives me heartburn.
Don't blame the chef. Don't blame the chef, Kelly.
I should probably talk to my doctor about that. But are we ready to investigate episode number one, Chef Boyardee? Are we ready, friends?
I'm beyond ready. Let's go.
Let's do it. Dun dun. That's all the money we have for the right to pay for. All righty. So, Chef Boyardee, first things first, if you're in the store and you see the products on the shelves, you may be thinking they are all creations of an ad company. Not Chef Boyardee. I don't know about today, but at the time when this came out, he was the only real person amongst all that other stuff on the shelf. Which is very interesting to me, but many of them were made up by marketing companies. But Ettore Boyardee was born in, let me see if I can get this right. I'm terrible with pronunciations, but Piacenza, Italy. That sounded nice when I said it.
Sounded good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was born in 1897 and seems to have been a bit of a wonder kid when it came to food, because at 11... he was working in a kitchen, you know, low end of the kitchen, but he was working at 11, and at 16 made his way to America where he walked straight into a job in the kitchen at the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Good first job.
Yeah. That's a pretty decent first job. Now, mind you, that would have been the early 1900s. So. But still, to come to a new country at that age, I'm not sure if he came by himself, but waltzed right into the Plaza at 16. At 18, 2 years later, coming to a new country, first job. 2 years later, this guy catered a wedding that... Now, I need to go back and look into this. I'm not sure if President Woodrow Wilson was in attendance or if it was Woodrow Wilson's wedding, but still a very high-powered group of people at a wedding. He catered this, and he soon was serving soldiers coming back from World War I. When they came to the hotel, he was the one in charge of making all the meals. This guy's under 20.
That's 22, amazing.
He is now the head chef at the Plaza Hotel.
Wow.
Just like, it's fascinating. And it just keeps getting interesting in a very short window of time. 1924, him and his wife, who I believe was named Helen. I believe her name was Helen.
And it was his wedding to her.
It was
their reception.
Wow. So it was a presidential.
Yeah.
Wow. At 18. Can any of you see your 18-year-old selves catering a wedding to a president?
No. 18-year-old me would have been serving them craft dinner.
No, it would be hungry man dinner. Like, hungry man, really? What is going on?
Comes on its own tray. You
know, I would put fancy cheeses on top of craft dinner. Maybe have some gourmet ketchups, you know?
Yeah, I would have had nice servingware. I would have been great. So him and his wife in 1924 opened a restaurant, Il Giardino d'Italia, the Garden of Italy, which, can I just say, hello, Olive Garden. Is that an homage to the Chef Boyardee restaurant name? I have questions.
But the question is, did they have free breadsticks?
Well, exactly.
Nothing was free in those days. Okay.
So this is in Cleveland, Ohio. And customers were asking so often to take home the spaghetti sauce that Boyardee was making. He would put it in he would like do the proper cleaning, but he would put them in milk bottles and send the customer home with spaghetti sauce.
It's so nice.
Now, 1928, there was owners of a grocery store in Cleveland who partnered up with him to help him develop a canning process. And the initial product that was sold in these cans had dried pasta, sauce, and cheese. And he was aware that some people had some trouble saying his name. So on the can is the name we see today, Boy R. D. So it went from a spelling of B-O-I-A-R-D-I to what we see today, Chef Boyardee.
So Boyardee to Boyardee.
Exactly. With the hand going up, listeners. The hand going up. It'd be great if you opened the can and you heard Boyardee. So that was all in Cleveland. And in 1936, he moved production to a town called Milton, Pennsylvania, because it was surrounded by tomato fields. And they reached out to the owners of the farms to make sure that that's where the tomatoes were coming from for their product. They imported, and this goes back to the Parm I mentioned earlier, they imported the Parmesan from Italy and the olive oil that went into the cans. And it made them the largest importer of Italian Parmesan in America.
Wow.
Yeah. They were
much more authentic than people give it credit for.
Exactly. Like, if I could just hop in a time machine and eat that.
Well, that's the thing. I want to know what it tasted like back then, because I have a feeling it may have changed.
The sauce, you can get the sauce still, and it's actually not that different. I don't know if the quality ingredients are the same. Yeah. The recipe isn't that different from the original.
But what you get in the can of
ravioli and stuff is not spaghetti sauce. It's not the good stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll get to that in a second because it's really interesting. Like, he slept on the floor of the factory and he made sure he tasted every batch that went out. And he was really particular about the quality of the ingredients that that went into each of the products. And when World War II happened, they became a supplier of the meals that were going out to the soldiers.
Oh.
And then they went into production 24/7. It earned Chef Boyardee a Gold Star Order of Merit for his wartime efforts.
Wow.
After World War II, though, production dipped so drastically that in order to save the people who worked for him, which was about 5,000 people, he sold the company. And this was just after World War II, so I can't imagine what it was worth now. At the time, he sold it for $6 million.
Wow.
Sold it for $6 million to American Home Foods, stayed on with them as a consultant and sales and spokesperson. He appeared in the commercials just because he wanted to until the 1970s. American Home Foods is sometime around the 70s, 80s, sold to another company. And that is when they used the recipe but started changing the ingredients. The olive oil was replaced by soybean oil. They stopped going to that tomato farm nearby. And by the time he left the company, it was because just every aspect of what he put in it was pretty much different. Mm-hmm. He passed away at the age of 87 in 1985.
Wow.
But quite a story of the roots of what we see in the grocery stores. And man, I would love to have time traveled to eat that original recipe.
It's very much the American story, like an immigrant bringing their food with them, basically teaching America about Italian food and sharing that with his culture.
Yeah.
And becoming a cornerstone of the American story in a lot of children's childhood.
Absolutely, which we see on the shelves today. And where is the company today, Carrie? What's present day Chef Boyardee?
I will tell you, I'm just going to make a small correction. When he sold the company in 1946 for $6 million, he sold it to Conagra.
Okay.
And Conagra sold it to the Hometown Food Company in 2025, and they sold it for $600 million.
Stop what? It.
No, I will not stop it, because that's what it is. And I'm Hometown, that, isn't that crazy? And Hometown, that company that now owns Chef Boyardee, also owns Pillsbury. They own Hungry Jack. So they have a lot of companies.
Okay.
But in the fiscal year 2024, so really, really recently, they generated approximately $450 million in net sales. So since 1946, when he sold it originally, it's about a 10,000% increase in value. Okay. Jeez. I know. And when the chef himself died, as you said, in 85, he had a reported net worth of $60 million. So he did okay.
Yes.
He did okay. Now, so I just want to talk about the products for a second, because when I think Chef Boyardee, I tend to think two things. I think the ravioli, the beef ravioli in a can, and the beefaroni in a can. Those are the two that come to mind. But they do have a bunch of things in cans, right? They have beef ravioli, beefaroni, spaghetti and meatballs, and they have like those little lasagna noodles. That's a good one. But now they all have, they have more now. That's not all they have. They have overstuffed ravioli and jumbo meatballs, and they also have minis, like mini ravioli, like baby ones and mini little things. And some of these, a lot of them, come in microwavable cups. So a bunch do still come in the tin that you would need to open with a can opener, but a lot of them come in a microwavable cup. And there's not only beef ravioli and beefaroni and so on, they've added things. So now there's a mac and cheese. There's a rice with chicken and vegetables. Those are both in microwavable cups. And then in the cans, they have a couple of other things. They have a pasta in butter sauce. It's like little wagon wheel pastas. They have a mac and cheese, and they have a cheesy burger macaroni. All those are in a can.
What?
And they've branched out to family packs. They have these frozen family packs that you can put in a skillet. And just so there's spaghetti and meatballs, chicken Alfredo, and cheese ravioli that are like family-sized meals in a bag. They're frozen. You put them in your frying pan, warm them up, and then you have enough for the whole family. You don't have to open like four cans. So the company has really branched out. I've never seen that in Canada. So either Mary on your next grocery trip or one of us Canadians in the next week of the States, we're going to have to research and see if these things are readily available.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going to be for dinner.
Mary can do it for dinner. Chef Boyardee also they have like a social media following. You can follow them on Instagram, and they'll, they're there, and you can leave a little comment for them, and I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from us.
Oh my gosh. I love that they have pasta in butter, because that is such a kid thing.
It is. I've never seen that. I was very surprised when I was doing my research for this episode, because I was like, I read it a couple times. I'm like, and it shows a picture of it when I was researching. I'm like, I've never seen that packaged in that way. It's always just the thing you make at home. Or when you go to the fancier restaurant, you say, can you just make my kid the noodles with the butter and done.
Mary's waving.
And Mary, you make it for Mary as well.
So I am doing research on the fly here.
Okay.
You can get these family packs at Target.
Oh.
We don't have that in Canada.
We don't. Yeah. But the next time we go to America. Target.
Yep. We have Chef Boyardee Chicken Primavera. Oh. You can also, do you guys have a Fiesta Mart?
Nope. We used to. Nope. I don't think we have them anymore.
How about Super One Foods?
No.
Nope.
You're naming imaginary grocery stores now.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say what the reviews are on them.
That's fair. Okay. When I come to LA, Mary and I need to have a...
That'll be your dinner one day.
Fancy Italian dinner. Just
separate. You have them in Walmart up here.
They have them in Walmart?
They got them at the Walmart. We got the Walmart.
I've never seen them, but I will look more carefully the next time I go. Because that's usually where I shop.
Yeah, I love the idea of pasta and butter, despite the fact that I am older.
We don't talk. You can have pasta and butter. That's all right.
Any age is good for pasta and butter. I love it. Holy mackerel, that company's worth a pretty penny.
Yes. Very successful. And it's I want to say it's surprising, but I guess it's not. It's something really simple to eat. It's something, especially when I was a kid, like even though I was a four, I didn't eat it that often, but it was a quick lunch I could make for myself.
Yeah.
We didn't have a microwave back in those days, but you could easily open it, stick it in a pot, stir, 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 it's finished, right? You don't have to do anything. I won't say it's like crazy healthy, but it's not bad for you. It's meat and pasta and cheese. Like it's hearty and it's an easy, not expensive meal that people can feed their kids, right? So why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly seems to have some very honest roots of giving people
absolutely
good quality ingredients. Mm-hmm. That has changed over the years.
Yeah, it's got like a good, like you feel like you, it's a company that you can trust because he was a real person. And don't you remember he was on the commercials and stuff? So it was like this real man. I don't know that we knew he was really real. I think some people thought maybe it was an actor. But
no,
still,
it was him.
There's you still go, oh, there's that real man who made the real food, and there's a trust component.
Yeah.
I mean, why do we all trust Tom Carvel and Carvel ice cream?
That's right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Back to our roots. Yep.
I love that. Curious to know like where things may go in the future for Chef Rarity. Matt, might you know?
I mean, at 98 years old, the brand continues to live on. Like you both mentioned, it had been purchased by Hometown Food Company, which is a division of Brynwood Partners, a private equity firm. They own brands like Juicy Juice, Balance Bar.
Is that the firing squad coming to get your Chef Rarity, bud?
Yeah, I think they're like, oh, we're talking bad about equity investment firms. But yeah, like Pearson's Candy Company, and these are the same people who make Fiddle Faddle.
Oh,
so, like Faddle. They own some brands.
Yeah,
and like while these firms are gutting the world's economy with predatory force, harming financial stability, and a quest for unending growth. You know, it looks like there is a sustainable future for the chef's creations. Like you mentioned, they've got the skillets. Mm-hmm. They've got pizzas. You can get Chef Boyardee pizzas now as well.
What? Stop the podcast. Let's go get that.
And I mean, like they own, like there is a sustainable company that they're tied up in the Pillsbury, White Lily, Hungry Jack. These are all associated brands. There is a bit of, let's just say, questionable labor practices with the company. This is the larger umbrella company, not Chef Boyardee itself. Yeah. But you know, they bought Stella Doro, they tried to close the only unionized plant in the state at that time.
Ooh.
Because a court ruling said they had to negotiate. So they just like, oh, well, we're selling it, and closed it down. But despite this, the brand continues to grow. It's making all of these new products. Their dishes are still cooked up and pretty authentically. But if you want a real taste of the Boyardee or the Boyardee family kitchen, Ettore Boyardee in particular, you should check out Mario Boyardee's granddaughter, Anne Boyardee. She has a cookbook, Delicious Memories, Recipes and Stories from Chef Boyardee's family. She talks about everything from antipasta to twists on traditional dishes and using ingredients like porcini mushrooms and lobster. Not the kind of fare you get from a can. It's a little bit more elaborate. But these are the meals that her granddad and her great uncle, the Chef Boyardee Hector, would make together. So born in Italy, she was raised in New Jersey. Food's been a part of her life I'm going to apologize to Italian relatives of Mary kind of thing. Pickenzia?
Okay.
Yeah, you're okay.
It's the hometown. She literally, she was born in the town tortellini was born in.
Oh my goodness.
She learned to make it from her grandparents, passing down these traditions. Food wasn't just like a family business. It was the family passion.
Right.
And it's carried through generations. And it's transitioned into a culinary school and culinary school in air quotes. She taught posh people how to cook Italian food in her in her Tribeca apartment kitchen. But that became the Cucina Academy, just teaching family recipes. One dish from her book that looks very interesting to me is apple cider vinegar roasted chicken with rosemary. It's just all these interesting family meals. But how do you feel about the Boyardee Letter? Like, all we have to do is look at YouTube, at Reddit, you know, cans of Boyardee sauce, which are now hard to find. People are still looking for, they're talking about favorably.
Wow.
And it's, you know, it's a food that people grew up with. YouTubers like Max Miller, terrific YouTuber. If you haven't watched him, he does a lot of food. His show is called Tasting History.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, he made Chef Boyardee's original recipe. Made it from scratch. Delicious. And so you can go and watch that right now.
Ellie's going to go and make that.
Endless loops of these old commercials are on YouTube or on Instagram. Yeah. So it's a living legacy. It has just become a part of our food culture collectively.
I said, mini, mini, mini. What would you say? Does that ring a bell for anybody? Mini, mini, mini ravioli, oli, oli, oli.
Oh, vaguely.
I don't know. I think that was a... Maybe it's not, but I thought it was. It's a little jingle that we should sell.
That's vaguely familiar.
Yeah. Mini, mini ravioli, oli, oli, oli. Yeah.
Huh. Most of my brain is just clouded with weird facts. Like, I can describe the set of the John Davidson talk show from.
Yes, it's a commercial. I wasn't losing my mind. It's a commercial.
When that aired.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
But I just, you know, listen, I am by marriage related to an Italian family. Mm-hmm. My husband's Uncle Phil sat me down and asked me how I was going to provide for his Italian son cooking wise, because I don't really cook. And I said, well, I have a credit card. And he didn't like that answer. So the thing is I think the Chef Boyardee today, or Boyardee, I can't put that in front of my husband and say, I can't put one of those skillets in front of his face and go, here, look what I slay.
Look what fair. I did. Yeah, fair.
Like, I was in the kitchen all day and here's I can't. I'm sorry. It's a wonderful story of family and whatever. But he gets upset if we go to Olive Garden. So I just have to be careful. But I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's got such family honest roots to it for a mass marketed product that we see obviously in different incarnations now and where it's going to go in the future. And I wonder what he would think of the fact that you can get the frozen meals and the skillets. He probably would like that he's making your job easier of providing dinner. He would probably like that. I don't think he would appreciate the quality of the ingredients.
Probably not. Yeah.
Because I think like if the ingredients were the quality that he was holding it to, he'd be happy with it. And he'd probably be far better. Far more delicious.
I was looking online and I can't think of, I apologize to the YouTuber who put the video out, but somebody in 2020, the company put out throwback recipes.
Oh.
Chef Boyardee throwback recipes. So we bought a present day can of the ravioli and a throwback of the ravioli. The sauce of the ravioli in the throwback can was so much richer and deeper in color. There were more raviolis because there's a certain size that they have to cut it to so it fits in the can.
Mm-hmm.
But the meat ratio in the ravioli was about the same. That was the only thing that was really similar. The present day can, a lot runnier when you opened it, smelt different to the throwback can, which had a bit of a richer sort of depth to it. I looked up to see if you can still get that today. It seems quite hard to find, but yeah, about a few years ago, they brought back the old recipe for a bit.
You know, you can also get, they also do a cheese ravioli now. I don't think it's as easy to find as the beef ravioli, but they do have a cheese one.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, and there's also, they talk to you, I don't know if they talk to you about this, Carrie, when your kids are starting to eat solid foods. My kids did not like baby food. So I had to do the microwavable Chef Boyardee. See, I was feeding your grandchildren and your grandnieces and nephews Italian food like my Nana. But anyway, the long and short of it is that I was able to give them the little raviolis and the little meatballs.
They're teeny. The mini ones are adorable. Yeah. That's a really good point. I don't think I gave it to my babies, but I should have. I'll give it to them now. They'll think they're giants. I'll give them the mini ones. Go eat grown. Yeah.
So there we are, listeners. A history on Chef Boyardee, who's a real guy. Possibly, I think today would be a different answer because so many people have their faces on products. But for a long time, he was the only actual human being on his products. So good on him. Applause for Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
And his version of the Olive Garden. I'm kidding. Props to Endless Bread and Salad. They know they're filling you up and you can't manage a meal. Anyone ever left, just a little divot before we get to trivia, anybody ever been to an Olive Garden, just had the breadsticks and salad and then left?
I think that's an option on the menu, isn't it? That you could just do that?
I don't know. I never have. I'm just curious.
I'm sure someone's done it.
Someone's got to have done it.
I can remember the last time I went to an Olive Garden.
I can remember.
There's a choice where you can do unlimited breadsticks, salad, and soup.
That's right.
So you can. So you'll have soup and salad. And it's actually, I'm not going to lie, I've gone and done that after a gig by myself. I've sat in an Olive Garden by myself where I'm family, and I ate like a queen.
Yep.
And it wasn't bad. I mean, my Irish, you know, my father's Irish side was very proud of me.
You know the comedian Matteo Lane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has a YouTube where he and his one friend go to and he's A, a foodie.
Okay.
B, part Italian. And C, very snobby, but in the most delightful way. And he just goes in and he just tears it apart. He's very nice to the staff, but just tears it apart. It's a good watch if you ever want to watch that. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, you get what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anywhere there's unlimited breadsticks, you know there's got to be a quality question.
Yeah.
It's like Red Lobster. You know, you go in there and you get the endless bucket of biscuits.
No, not anymore. It's a little, because the Endless thing bankrupted them, right?
Right.
Flava Flav came in to save them. They now just, if anyone's curious, for some eye candy, a very hot CEO. I'm not going to lie. That man is handsome. Now there's this within reasonable amount of shrimp. That's not what it's called.
Right? Within reasonable amount of shrimp.
He's a handsome fella.
He's very handsome.
I have to see this gentleman.
All right. Everybody look up, listeners, while you're listening to this. Ask your robot to show you a picture of the Red Lobster CEO.
Oh my. Okay.
Isn't he handsome?
He's adorable. Oh my goodness.
He's got style too. There's this one image where he's like got this multi-pattern
calendar.
A Red Lobster calendar. Can you imagine he's holding a lobster and he's
holding a different. I don't know. Anywho, never mind. Okay. Have I mentioned
I'm trying to prove it? Oh, wow. He's very attractive.
Isn't he?
Yes. No. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And I'm allergic to shellfish and fish, but I go into a Red Lobster just to meet him.
Oh, gosh.
Very good looking. Oh, good.
Well, maybe, Mary, you would take this man for some trivia.
Yes.
You may. What a segue, everyone. Look how I steered that ship.
Here we go.
Are we ready for trivia, everyone?
Excited.
Here we go.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Okay.
All right. I love this. This is like Trivial Pursuit back in the 80s and 90s. One, true or false? The can opener was invented in 1858 and canned food was created in 1810.
What?
True.
That's ridiculous. Why would they?
I'm going to say true.
Yeah.
It sounds true, but I would like it.
Yeah, because like the can opener, like on your old knife, you have like an old utility knife.
So you all are correct. True.
Oh,
the can opener was invented nearly 50 years after canned foods. I feel sorry for the people before that.
Yes. Oh my God.
Can you imagine? You go get your canned food and you're like,
I have a story.
I'm so hungry.
I have a story.
Like a cowboy out on the range, like, oh, Cookie, I gotta get this can opener. Give me a rock.
Prior to the can opener, people would use knives to open a can. Right. And if you're wondering, the Band-Aid was invented in 1920. Okay. I have a story.
Okay,
it's directly related to the house. So we were out. We went out to lunch, and my son Nick was left behind. He's 17, and he wanted some tuna. This is bad.
Oh no!
He didn't really know how to use our can opener.
So
we used a mallet and a knife. So we came home and it was like, I just took one look at it and I said, I have failed as a parent.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I think that shows inventiveness.
For sure.
Solving skills.
For sure. Yes.
But,
oh my gosh.
You know, he wanted that tuna so bad, he uses the meat mallet. So anyway, I'm just saying, everybody, thank God for the can opener. all right.
Man. Okay.
I'm writing this down though, Mary. I have to write this down. Teach kids to use can opener. Okay. On a list.
Yes, that should be a moment. It should be preferably before you leave the house and they're left alone.
Yeah, I'm putting it on the calendar right now.
Wow. Teach Kelly's dad to use
true or false? The liquid in the can of chickpeas can be used to make a vegan egg white for meringue.
Yeah, it's true.
That's true.
I think I've heard about that.
I've done it.
But how would it taste?
It's good.
Is it?
Yes.
It's good.
Yes, you can.
I mean, just egg white's just protein, right? Like, and you get that protein from the beans.
Yeah. In there, it's 100% true, everybody. I've done this before.
You just whip it up?
Yeah. Mary, what's it called, by the way, Mary?
It's called aquafaba.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very scary to me.
No, you would do it just like you would do with an egg white to make meringue if you've got a pal who's vegan and you're doing some baking. Don't waste that stuff, friends. You don't even have to have a pal who's vegan. You just have to have a night alone and survive it.
You know, there's more than a few nights where I've just wanted to sit there eating nothing but piles of meringue.
Meringue's so good.
Oh, I hate it.
You hate meringue?
The worst.
It's not the worst.
Oh, I can't. I can't do it.
Really good meringue cookies, Mara. They're delish.
They're worse things.
Is it a texture thing?
I find meringue suspicious. I feel that it's stealing from our friends the whipped cream. I cannot. All right.
It's totally different to whipped cream.
I don't like it. It looks to me like it's going to be delicious like whipped cream, and then I take a bite. I can't do it.
Listeners, if you've never had meringue, but you've had whipped cream, meringue does not taste like whipped cream.
I think therein lies the problem.
Yeah. Listen, my kids don't know how to use a can opener, so don't use me.
So, all right, what's next, Mary?
Yeah. All right, true or false? Canned produce is as nutritious as fresh.
False.
No.
False.
Yes. Is everyone saying false?
I'm going to say true.
Well, you are correct, Terry.
Oh, true. Terry. Oh.
Yes. They are, as they are canned within hours of being harvested, which locks in their freshness.
My goodness. Good to know.
Huh. Well, I mean, we donate canned goods to food banks, right? Because, right, you know, there's some good shelf life to it. So that's good to know that when you're donating those things, you're donating like some good product, not just because it's in a can for a while. I wouldn't have thought that. That's surprising. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, canned stuff lasts longer, too.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That is true.
I guess because it tastes kind of funky a lot of times, it doesn't taste as good as fresh. I'd have thought some nutritional value might have been lost, but I guess the nutritional values there just taste funky.
Right.
Apparently the internet disagrees with you, Matt.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well, and the internet knows all.
Well, and also there's a more sodium.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that can be trouble.
I mean, pros and cons, right? So
yeah. Mm. Okay. True or false? I'm actually frightened by this. Okay, true or false? Cheeseburger in a can is an actual thing.
Ew. Yep.
It's gotta be.
It's true.
That's repellent.
The canned cheeseburger, this is true.
Is it true?
Is a real, fully assembled and preserved product often sold by German companies like Trekking Ma Zeiten as emergency rations or camping food. The burger typically comes in a tin containing a bun, patty, cheese, and condiments like dehydrated tomatoes and onions designed to be heated in a boiling water bath.
This is why I don't camp.
It's not that bad.
You've had it?
It's not that bad. It's not great.
When did you have this, Matt?
Oh, a few years ago in camping.
Seriously? Okay, we lived, so we know it's okay. All right.
Yes.
That's just weird.
I don't think I'd want that.
It's not something I'd eat on a regular basis, but it's something I'd eat to say.
Honey, what's for dinner tonight?
Oh, some canned hamburgers? It does sound like a Simpsons reference.
It really does.
Something Seymour Skinner would come up with at some point.
That just sounds gross.
I can't.
Oh man, I snorted. I'm sorry.
The fact that it's in boiling water.
Yeah.
Well, you boil the can. It heats it up.
Then you take the can.
So it's not like you're dropping a bun in boiling water. It's a cooking vessel.
Got it. Yeah, I would have done that. I would have
like it's a chia pet.
I would have done that. I would have said, "Here, everybody, delicious."
Wow. Okay.
All right. Oh, good. I'm. You know, if I go camping with you, Matt, I'll make sure that I never have this. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
True or false? Whole chicken in a can is an actual thing.
Oh God! Please, I feel like
I've seen that somewhere.
If you can cook it, you can can it.
Oh, a whole chicken in a can? How big's the can?
Yeah.
Is this true or false?
It's true. Sweet Sue canned whole chicken is a fully cooked 50-ounce shelf-stable whole bird, usually without the giblets. Ugh. Designed for convenience. Our research team says that you should not Google what it looks like.
I'm looking right now.
Out of the can. But you should Google actor Jamie Dornan's potato rock collection.
Yes.
He 100% collects rocks that look like potatoes. That I've seen.
Okay. He does. The actor from many things, but what's coming to mind right now, 50 Shades of Grey, has a hobby where he collects rocks that look like potatoes. I saw it on SNL UK. SNL UK, he was hosting the other night and brought that out. And that's legit. Whole chicken in a can.
I just looked it up.
Whoever is making that, I am busy that night.
Yeah.
And I just looked it up, and that is gnarly.
I just looked it up too. You don't need to look it up.
I'll live without knowing. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. That's what we did it for you.
Oh my god.
That was gross.
Could you imagine like an office potluck? You know what? I'm gonna bring the chicken in a can.
Let's marry this year. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. We need to have an order up office potluck. Matt will bring cheeseburger in a can. One of us will bring chicken. We'll chicken
I'm bringing
in a can.
Chef Boyardee.
I'll try to get the Red Lobster CEO.
There we go.
Do we know she's single?
He's very cute.
He's very cute.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm frightened by all of this, but all the answers were true, everybody.
Wow.
So, wow.
Yeah. Well,
there we go.
I don't think I'll ever be the same, but okay.
Cherry, you win. Yeah, you got all right.
Yeah, it's true.
I never look.
And your prize is chicken in a can. Okay. I'm good.
I think we've had a very successful investigative. Good work, detectives.
Sure.
Yep.
That was fun.
Thank you.
We should do this again.
Let's.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Let's investigate the relationship status of the Red Lobster City.
Well, you know who might know? Flava Flav.
Yes.
And Flava Love. Good looking guy. Listen. And my family, we used to play with the lobsters before they were cooked.
My grandma
used to put them on the floor and we play with them and then, yeah. See, that's no wonder. So the
first part of my dysfunction started early. Was your best friend as a childhood a lobster?
What?
Was your best friend as a child was a lobster?
No, because I'm allergic to shellfish, so I couldn't get too close.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Let us know what you'd like to hear next on Order Up Investigates.
Order Up is hosted and produced by Matt Ardill,
Mary Kennedy,
Mary Hayes,
Ellie Zunekis.